30 years ago today, terrorism and the Middle East conflict intruded on the Olympic Games in Munich. Early that morning, Israeli athletes were taken hostage by members of the Palestinian Black September movement. 21 hours later, there was a botched rescue attempt by German police.
Apparently, there was a premature exchange of gunfire, and at the first burst of gunfire, the terrorists opened up, say the Germans, on the hostages. Then, apparently almost immediately, one of the terrorists pulled the pin on a grenade, immolating himself and everybody else who was inside the helicopter that he was positioned in.
The Israelis and most of their captors were killed. That was how it was reported on CBS Radio on September 5, 1972, by a reporter named Dave Marisch. Dave Marisch went to Munich, a sports reporter, covered one of the biggest news stories of the year, and went on to a career as a top-flight television news correspondent, now with ABC Nightline. Welcome to our program, Dave.
Thanks, Robert.
When you think back on September 5, 1972, what strikes you in retrospect as the significance of that day in Munich?
I guess how unprepared we in the media and certainly they at the International Olympic Committee and probably all of us in the world were for this terrorist attack. Looking back on it with hindsight, it seems incredible that we should have been so unprepared because there are, of course, had been skyjackings and other acts of terrorism, and the targetability of the Olympic Games had been long discussed. But still, when it happened, I would say that the world, and in this case most pointedly the International Olympic Committee, stood frozen like the cliché of the deer in the headlights when this occurred. And to me, the most astonishing aspect of the story is the almost 12 hours that it took for the International Olympic Committee to call off the events. The siege of Building 21 went on simultaneously with Olympic events. In retrospect, that seems to me, as I say, the most astonishing part of the story.
Also, obviously unprepared for these events were the Munich police, who didn't seem to know what to do with a terrorist event.
Part of the problem is that the Munich Olympics was supposed to be an exercise in demonstrating how unmilitarized and untotalitarianized West Germany had become in the 25 years since the end of World War II. And so there was a real attempt to put a smiley face on all security aspects of the games. This turned out to be perfectly inappropriate. But again, the mindset of the Germans is we will show the world how civil, kind, and pleasant we can be.
Can you relate a bit of what actually happened late that night as both the Israeli athletes and the Palestinians who had taken them hostage were to be flown out of Munich flown, I guess, in a helicopter out of Munich?
Well, they were flown by helicopter from the Olympic Village to a military air base on the outskirts of Munich, where they were then to be taken to a plane, which was then to fly them to a still unspecified destination. It was after the helicopter landed at the airport that a German police sharpshooter team attempted to pick off the terrorists as they were transferring from the helicopters to the airplane. And in the event, the firing was premature so that all of the terrorists were not exposed to fire, and many of their hostages were still basically captives inside the helicopters, where they were easily victimized by the terrorists who essentially committed suicide once they came under fire.
You think about that often, by the way, about 72?
Yes, I have to say that the single most surreal image that I ever witnessed was while covering this siege. At the press center, there was a bank of 15 television screens. Screen 1, 2, and 3 were the close-up, medium, and wide shot of Building 21, where the Israeli athletes were under siege. The fourth camera was the anchor position, and the other 11 monitors were showing the Olympic events that were live and underway at that time, simultaneous with the siege. And those simultaneous images flickering on those monitors struck me as the most incongruous, most inappropriate, most flat surreal visual memory of my life.
But do you think that there was some punctuation mark in our consciousness there in 72 where we began to expect from then on at every mass gathering, at every event that was ostensibly fun, that there could be some violent threat, that somebody might suddenly appear as a sharpshooter, that our fiction was suddenly full of people, snipers in Super Bowl games and all that. I wonder if there was anything that began there and was different from what preceded it.
The comparison that I would make, Robert, is to September 11th. Just as after September 11th, the concept of terrorism, the threat of a terrorist event or assault, simply moved farther to the front part of our brain and assumed a larger scale inside our brains. The Munich Olympics of 1972, on a slightly smaller scale than 9/11, had the same kind of galvanizing effect. After Munich, terrorism was simply much more a conscious subject, which would say that it is probably second only to September 11th as a triumph for terrorism.
Dave Marisch, thank you very much for talking with us about it today.
Thanks, Robert.
Dave Marisch of ABC Nightline, who in 1972, as a reporter for CBS Radio, covered the Olympic Games and also the terrorist attack at Munich.